Now, we're very happy to see everyone this evening. And we give you a very warm welcome to Langley. Now, I don't know whether I'm qualified to say that or not, because I'm not in the Langley Assembly, but I'm in fellowship with the Langley Assembly. And on behalf of our beloved brethren and sisters, we thank you one and all for coming this evening. And those of you who have come from Vancouver and the Valley to hear our brother, you'll be hearing him in a minute. I'm the curate, he's the preacher. So, hope the Lord will help him tonight. And help us as we consider divine truth together. I want you to have four very short readings, maybe three, for sake of time, from the New Testament. First one from the little book of Philemon, please. The little book of Philemon. And if you can't find it, it's before the Hebrew epistle. Maybe you haven't been in it recently. But it's only 25 verses. Now, Paul is the writer, and he addresses Philemon. And amongst many things that he says, in verse number 24, he speaks of Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now please notice, in verse 24, there are two names that appear together, Demas and Lucas, my fellow laborers. Now please, the Colossian letter, chapter 4, for our next reading. Verse number 14. Of the Colossian letter. Colossians 4 and 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greeteth you. Interesting to notice, the two names appear together again. Lucas and Luke is the same person. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now we're going to conclude, please, with a word in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Among the last words that fell from the pen of the inspired writer Paul himself are these. Verse number 10, please. Well, maybe verse number 9 is the commencement of the section. The Father to the Son, Paul to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, dear saints of God, we hear this quoted constantly. Having loved this present evil world. Now, it doesn't say that. It's this present world. And the word is the world system. The attractions of this age is what's in view. And is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, when you have your Bible open here, please notice verse 10, Demas, and verse 11, Luke. And that's all I purpose reading. Recently, I have been interested in following throughout these epistles the companions in travel and in labor with Paul the Apostle. He must have been a wonderful character indeed, unique in many ways, but one of the outstanding features of Paul is this, that he had a band of younger men around him. Paul was like the Lord Jesus in this sense. He recognized that he couldn't do everything himself, and that others were required under the permissive will of God to help him if he's going to be successful in the service of God. Beloved brethren in Christ, here's a principle. Older, mature brethren should always be looking for younger men coming on that have a real desire in their heart to serve God and out of love to the Savior, develop Christian principles and characteristics because of the Lord be not come. Their turn will come to carry on the burden of the ministry or the burden of the shepherd work or whatever falls to their hand. Amongst this band, you can go over the names. There's Timothy, Titus, Aristarchus, John Mark, Epaphroditus, Onesimus, Onesiphorus, and on the list goes. But amongst the list there are two that I would like to draw your attention to this evening. Demas and Luke. Lovely to notice that the Holy Spirit of God places them together as a couplet in the verses that I have read. I have read you tonight the three references of the New Testament to a man called Demas. And I would like you to notice that his name means popular, indicating to our hearts that even in his very name his parents were interested in their boy as he developed and matured through life to be popular, to be in the limelight, to be in the front. In the mercy of God, he heard the gospel one day and was saved by the grace of God and was useful at one particular time in his life, as we'll see in a moment. Interesting to notice that the man Luke, the beloved physician of the New Testament, have you ever stopped a minute to think of what his name means? His name means life. Oh, the man that the Spirit of God chose in the New Testament to write about the perfect man. The Lord Jesus as the Son of Man, as he moved in perfect harmony with his Father and moved down here to the pleasure of God. He knew something of the perfect man. He never walked alongside him like the 12 apostles of the Lamb. But the Holy Spirit of God enlightened them. And I believe Paul the Apostle and others were instrumental in bringing the knowledge of the perfect pathway of the Savior before Luke. Now, very simple tonight and to the point, I would like us to think of the man Demas in the three references of the New Testament under three words. And notice with me, please, very quickly, what's said about the man Demas. Very little is said, but enough tonight to teach us lessons in the things of God. I would like us, first of all, I read the scriptures, I believe, in the order that they took place. Not maybe in the order that they're in scripture, but I believe that in the little book of Philemon, here's a man, Demas, and he's useful in the service of his God. Selected by Paul the Apostle to labor with him. If you go down the list and look at Paul's ministry, you'll recognize that Paul wouldn't have everybody in the band of faithful men that would follow him. But in that first scripture I read to you in that little book of Philemon, he's termed a fellow laborer. I would like you to think of the man Demas in the band of preachers alive. That's my first point. Demas, the popular man, alive. And I don't know how he preached or what kind of personality he had. The Bible is silent on it. But I tried to do a little research in the background to see what kind of an upbringing he had, where his family tree originated, and all about his background. And there's only conjecture in the man that write about the New Testament. And the historian has many things to say about him. But it's not authentic. It's not inspired. And we leave that tonight. Safe to join the man Demas when he's popular in the preaching of the gospel. He's alive in the band of men. And under the direction of Paul the Apostle and others and the Holy Spirit, he became alive. He was known as a man that labored. That's what he's talking about there in Philemon. And by the way, if Mr. Newbery's dates are right, you check out these scriptures and you'll see that in a period of approximately two and a half years to 3 years, these things that we're about to speak of took place. And the man likely was successful in the service of God, and he labored day and night with the apostle.
There's somebody here tonight in this audience that would describe you.
In the little niche that God has called you to fit and to fill as I have too. One word would describe your service tonight, alive in the things of God. When you're around the Sunday school in the fear of God, you're known. When you're in the assembly and rise to give thanks to God on the Lord's Day morning, associated with you is an alive personality. And in the fear of God moving forward.
But the next time we read of the man Demas, he's not a fellow laborer. I read you Colossians 4 to show he's now a follower.
In the race, he's beginning to slacken. He's beginning to drop back. He's not in the same circle as he was in the previous reference. Paul gives him an honorable mention amongst others in Colossians 4, as he's now in the first imprisonment. Paul, I mean, not Demas.
So he has taken one step back. You're going to please remember that there's not one derogatory thing said about Demas in the Bible. And if there is, I have never found it. Maybe you could instruct me along that line. And my point is this,
that now the man, he has moved from being alive, and he's adrift the next day. Alive, and now he's adrift.
He actually still was around with Paul when Paul was released from prison. He likely still moved with the people of God. And maybe outwardly, he still had the same approach to things.
But Paul could detect that he was living. He didn't have the same luster and the same attitude as in earlier days.
Oh, dear friends, anybody in the audience tonight, the speaker included in that category?
fixed off the night of our Christian living before God and think of former days where we were 5 years ago.
In our spiritual status.
Maybe at that particular time the divine assessment was humbly moving in the fear of God, and God has prospered the individual brother or sister. They're alive in the things of God.
And a happy smile and a word for them as you would meet them. But now they're still nice and approachable and courteous. And all the good things that go along with good manners. But that little warmth that was once with them in spiritual things is beginning to wane. They're not as alive and as warm as they used to be.
Dear brother, how do you line up tonight? How do I line up? I want to say that along the pathway of life is a tester. And the trials and the problems and the difficulties that come in that we don't even think of. They sometimes rob our joy. Other things come in to me. We'll see in a moment. By and by, Paul the Apostle is apprehended, for I believe he had 2 imprisonments. There's not a verse in the Bible to tell you that he had, but assuredly gathering from the ministry and from the epistles and putting the things together, I believe tonight, I would suggest he had 2 imprisonments. From 2 to 3 years that rolled down the road, the soul winner of Asia and Europe,
that tramp those highways and byways for souls and saw souls saved and assemblies planted. Now he's confined to a prison cell. Dungeon cold and damp.
Paul knows he's coming to the end of the road.
And amongst many good things he says in this chapter, that's not my exercise tonight, he has a word to Timothy about Demas,
which is to appeal to the young man, Timothy, and say, Timothy, don't you be like the rest.
Do thy diligence to come before winter, bring the cloak and bring the books and especially the parchments. I'm an old man now, and I'm worn and weary, and I'm cold and damp, and I need you, Timothy. Come, will you?
Then he asks. He must have the opportunity. But he's not now a fellow laborer. He's not now a follower. He hath forsaken me. Having loved this present world. I have written over that Psalm scripture. Not that he's alive. Not that he's adrift. But he's away. You'd have stopped Demas in Thessalonica and said, now, Thessalonica, Demas, what are you doing here?
After all, Demas, I saw you preaching with Paul, and you were successful, and souls were saved, and you labored day and night. What's wrong now?
He would turn around and likely tell you something like this. Well, it's my best friend. I still love bosom companion of mine, and I appreciate the past years, but I couldn't take the rigors of the road. I couldn't be in that prison cell for a day. I couldn't stand up to the conditions of Paul the Apostle. I have come here to Thessalonica, and at that time it was the metropolis of Macedonia, and in that area of Achaia. And if you read the historian, you'll find out that
Oh, it was a prosperous place.
And the things of this life were attractive, and Demas would rather have had that line of things than labor with the Apostle Paul, and as he was drifting, he's now away.
Oh, you're better than tonight. This is a searching line, isn't it? Would there be a Demas in the audience tonight? I never come round a spiritual minus school in my own experience. Why, in the past. God spares me to Monday night. 23 years saved in the way to heaven. I know it's only a short time. I can only look back from it and think of contemporaries that labored with us. There's none of us out of the woods yet, and there's none of us home in heaven. And there's none of us know what we would do yet if we were faced with it. Oh, there are many Demases that we know along the pathway of life. I can't take time to describe some of them to you, but this I know. There are some sad cases. Your brethren, is it so? Are you here tonight?
And you're still in assembly fellowship, and your sister, you as well. And one time 10 years ago, you were alive, and you were warm, and you loved the Savior, and you still do, but it's waning. And other idols have taken its place, and the affections are going elsewhere.
Oh, the Lord's cross. The Bible reveals that when a person is saved, they're saved for time and eternity. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. And that word is one of the strongest negatives of the New Testament. My understanding from my brethren who know better than I. They shall never, 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 never perish. I see you on the blessing. A man called Demas, with a blessing service, with a blessing testimony, with a blessing of public sphere. That doesn't mean as a believer you can live a careless life and do with the life God won't allow you to do. But Demas is named and popular. Oh, how interesting that is. He liked to be popular and in the limelight all the way through the pathway. And I would suggest to your fellow believers, maybe I'm wrong in this, but I would suggest that Demas will be in heaven. And it's like as we draw near to the end of the age of grace, and as the coming of the Savior advances,
and we can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door, and he'll soon be here.
Oh, the lustre and the drawing cards of the world from it. Whatever realm you are, the one that draws you will be the difference of the one that draws me. And we learn a simple lesson to your young son, your young brother, and other friends. You know that he was a real believer. Because if you get the opportunity and desire an opportunity, the speaker will put it. There's not one of us tonight.
And if you look back over the pathway tonight, we can only say with bowed heads and subdued spirits in his holy presence, by the grace of God, we are what we are.
Oh, that God will stir us tonight, and that we might take a warning. And I want to tell you, I'm just so good at insulating now. That the assembly that are represented here in Woodland Drive alone and through there. Those who started out 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and Langley included, maybe in the old hall, some of our beloved brothers and sisters who are here, who have borne the burden and heat of the day for years. You must admit there's been Demases around in that way. Many have dropped out. Oh, may the Lord stir our hearts tonight. Don't be sick. For 3 minutes. I just want to go to the other one.
I hope tonight that everywhere we go, that would give a balanced ministry. Not all negative stuff, you know. Added up to. And it's lovely to notice that Luke and Demas are associated with each other. Linked together. And he skipped it up in there. Now very quickly, it says, for example, in Colossians 4, look, the beloved physician. I have written over that, the savor of his name. Do you know, brethren, that it's lovely to notice the Holy Spirit of God shows us the only man that was with Paul in his dying moments before his head was severed from his body and he was decapitated. Doctor. And with all that he knew, and all his intelligence, and all his skill, the Bible says he's the beloved physician. And you see, his name means light. What a contrast to Demas, who liked to be popular. But the Holy Spirit of God had developed a trait in the man. He's beloved.
There's that type of a believer still amongst the people of God. And their personality and their warmth and God's things attract you to them. You know that type of man, don't you? And a sister too.
And he goes on to say, he's a fellow laborer. He might have been the big doctor of the New Testament and had all the qualifications and all the rest of it. You could have said, now look, Paul, you're just a humble preacher. I'm going my way and you're going your way. Paul calls him a fellow laborer at the service. Must have been wonderful to labor beside a doctor. He ate the same meals as Paul did. They walked the same roads as Paul did. He was seasick of the same boat that Paul was in. And likely in some of those storms he was there. Maybe Acts 27, if you read it rightly, you'll see he was there. Imagine, a big man in society, a beloved brother, but he was a laborer. Oh, service. Dear brethren, I hope none of us get too big, myself included. I'm not prepared to sit down and labor beside a humble servant of the Lord Jesus, or anybody for that matter. The closest Paul's uptake. He said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. The race is run. The battle's fought. My stewardship handed in. Who's with him? I don't know if the beloved physician was there the day he was decapitated or not. But I want to tell you, he wasn't too far away. His steadfastness. And the end of the Lord. And a lovely man. What a contrast of Demas. Oh, the Lord stir our hearts. Dear brethren and sisters, will you go in for being beloved in Christ? And know there's a sense in which we are, but as to your personality, may your service, may your steadfastness. You can tell me that you won't get a crown at that day. I believe you will. And the man that Paul really appreciated when he was about to leave for heaven. A love position. Look himself. God, stir our hearts tonight. Bless you.